From the feature staff at the Columbus Dispatch, this is Life in the 614. Hi, and welcome to Life in the 614, the official lifestyle podcast of the Features Department at the Columbus Dispatch, coming to you every Thursday. If it sounds like fun, we'll be talking about it. I'm Ryan Smith, Features Editor at the Dispatch, and today things are about to get twisted. As in Twisted 3, the latest collaboration between the Columbus Symphony, Ballet Met, and Opera Columbus. The third such collaboration between the groups since 2014, this one, a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Columbus Association for the Performing Arts, will give each group a chance to shine on the same stage with its own program. So if you're looking for a buffet of artistic offerings, Twisted 3 promises an all-you-can-eat smorgasbord of classical music, ballet, and opera. It will take place September 26th through September 29th at the Ohio Theater. Here to tell us all about the effort is a power group from the local performing arts scene. We have Rossin Milanov of the Columbus Symphony, Edward Liang of Ballet Met, and Peggy Kriya Dai of Opera Columbus. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. So this is the third time that you guys have come together since 2014 to do something like this. Peggy, how will this be different from the first two?
It will be different. The whole production is different. So the first two times, we all were performing at the same time on stage together for the entire evening. And this time, each company will be showing the best of what they do individually. So it's three productions, not one. So we each get a nutshell of a production, and the audience gets to see three great organizations do their best thing.
And Rossin, what would you say are the advantages and the disadvantages of doing it this way?
I see only advantages because the first two times we were sharing a lot of real estate on stage. And this time we could still collaborate, at least on the part of the symphony orchestra, because we are part of all three segments on the evening. But also for the public, I think it will be a wonderful opportunity to experience what we do best. Big symphony orchestra, opera, and ballet.
So there must be some challenges, though, with technically as far as moving the different groups around during the course of the performance. And it's not like you're just dealing with a couple of performers at a time.
Yeah, we're going to be both on stage and in the pit. And of course, that means that we're going to have two sets of big instruments. There will be another set of timpani down in the pit, one on stage, double basses, all of that. So we just have to plan everything to be at our disposal twice. But other than that, it's absolutely an amazing opportunity to experience a one-of-a-kind show. I would say that it's happening only in Columbus. I don't know of any other cities where would combine their three top cultural organizations and put them on the same evening. So I'm very proud that we could do this here.
I mean, it seems like such a no-brainer. Edward, why isn't this done more often? And maybe not, you know, to Rossin's point, done more often in more cities?
I think that, well, this is just my experience and my point of view is that it takes a lot of collaboration, and collaboration is not the easiest when you're dealing with different organizations' cultures. You're combining not only artistically, but in the business aspect from marketing, ticketing, how you size the house, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that why it works here is that there's a lot of generosity and that everyone is willing to put things aside and try to support each other for the whole evening. And that's what makes it work and this type of collaboration work. If you don't have that spirit, it's very difficult. So it is from, since I think all of us have been here, it's been kind of like the hallmark of Columbus where the arts organization really strives to collaborate with each other.
Now, Peggy, Opera Columbus is going to be performing a comic opera by Puccini. For those who don't know the difference between Puccini and zucchini, I'm very proud of that line.
That is good. I'm
going to
steal that.
Please
I'm
going
to steal it.
What's this about?
Okay, first of all, it's a comedy. I think that's worth repeating because a lot of people go, what? I didn't know opera could be a comedy. Someone does die, which is very traditional of opera. However, in this case, it's pretty hilarious. Huge orchestration, big Italian romantic music, lots of singers on stage. The comedic timing is hilarious. We're flying in a full set, everything you would see if we were only doing an opera for the evening. So we're not skimping out at all. So in that sense, it's a big undertaking, but it's great. It's great. A lot of local singers, which is great. We flew in our director and conductor, but the singers are primarily local.
And what's the plot in a nutshell, if you, without giving anything away?
Okay, let's see if I can. I've done this like in three sentences. Let's see if I can do it. Bozo, very wealthy man, is dying. In fact, dies. All his relatives are gathered round and acting to be sad. However, they really want to know what their place is in the will. They find out he's given his money to the monastery. They panic, so they bring in a very interesting character, Johnny Skeeky, and he saves the day, kind of. So there's a plot twist.
All right, I'm intrigued.
Mm.
As you should be.
Well done.
Thank you.
And Edward Ballet Met's contribution is going to be a new ballet that you're choreographing, right?
Yes.
And that's called Tributary. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a tribute to classical ballet. And this is something that without this collaboration, I don't think Ballet Met would be able to do on their own. It's just the essence of big ballets, 46 dancers on stage, tutus, and yet a meld of a lot of pyrotechnic classical ballet feats that I really would like to show Columbus. But musically, it's also a huge game changer. For us, we don't get live music very often besides the Nutcracker. And here and there, we get to do some full lengths with live music. And to have live music with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra for this is obviously the game changer. And we put together pieces of music, whether it's Czerny or Sibelius. But I guess the best part of it is I got to collaborate with the symphony to see where the symphony would thrive the best and what would really inspire Rawson in conducting. And if the music is spectacular, then the ballet is going to be spectacular. So we put together a little bit of a 24-minute ballet that's kind of a tribute to classical ballet.
Now, in our article previewing all of this, it mentions that it is a plotless ballet, which to people who may not be part of the regular dance world, a red flag. Plotless sounds scary. Why should they not be scared by something like this?
Because, you know, the beautiful thing is that dance for dance sake is enough. What's amazing about plotless ballets or ballets that have no story is that the audience are able to find themselves through it. And that's what theater is all about, is that you get to see yourself through whether it's music, opera, dance, paintings. That's what humanity and art does. So I don't think that people should be intimidated by that. But I do want to, I guess, kind of quote George Balanchine, is that if you select beautiful music and you don't like to see what you see on the stage, you can always close your eyes. But hopefully people won't have to close their eyes. But that's, I think, the wonderful thing about arts is there's a little bit for everybody.
And you mentioned the size of the production. I mean, you're pulling dancers out of the woodwork. Where are they all coming from?
We have a really large pre-professional trainee program that we're pulling from. And we also have a second company, Ballet Met 2. So in total, 46 dancers.
Okay. Nice.
It looks spectacular. I have seen the rehearsals, and I must say that it's a top-notch performance and choreography and all of that. So you shouldn't doubt this is world-class ballet.
And Rawson, the symphony is going to be performing the music of Petrushka, which is a Russian ballet, which is about living puppets. So how are you going to twist that into your performance coming up?
We're going to pretty much set the stages as a fairground for Russia, where the ballet actually originally takes place. But instead of having the dancers the way it was conceived, there are roles for many of the musicians that are going to be acted on stage. Most of them are going to be in the terms of a pantomime. There are going to be some special characters that will appear on stage. Some of the musicians have some other special skills other than being able to play the instrument. So I'm just going to stop here because you have to come and see it. And I don't think a description is going to do it justice of what this piece is going to be if you see the actual performance of it.
How did you discover the extra musical talents of some of your musicians?
Oh,
were there tryouts?
Easy. It's very easy. First of all, we know each other very well, not only on stage, but also off stage. We know who the funniest people are. We know who are the people that are willing to experiment. And then for the last part, we just put up a sign-up sheet and we said, what else can you do besides playing? And you will be surprised how many different answers were put on the paper. So we just looked at that and picked up anything that could be displayed as a circus act.
How does the symphony interact normally with some of the other organizations, you know, the opera, the ballet, that are going to be collaborating here?
Well, we are always in the pit. If there is an opera, we're in the pit. If there is a ballet, we're in the pit. So it's those two, they technically could not really exist without having an instrumental ensemble of some sort, because opera is a big complex art that really combines not only singing and theater, but also live music. And it's the same with the ballet. It would be quite unusual if a choreographer decides to do a ballet with no music, whether if it's pre-recorded by an orchestra and played over the speakers in the house or whether the orchestra is in the pit. But I do agree with Edward that those live collaborations between the orchestra being there and the dancers and these two components feeding off of each other's energy is something magical.
And you've been doing a lot of traveling recently, personally. I think you said you just flew in from Philadelphia, but you've been trotting the globe quite extensively. What's it like preparing for performances like this when you're all over the place?
Well, the orchestra, this is the first working week of the orchestra after a long period of vacation, which we normally take after the end of our summer season. So we will see each other literally for the first time this week. And on the weeks when I'm not here, of course, this applies also not only to myself, but to everybody that is here around the table, Peggy and Edward. We do have a pretty significant artistic life outside of Columbus as well. And I think that this is good for the city, because when we go somewhere, we carry the name of Columbus. We carry the name and the stature of the arts in this city. So we are seen as not only artists that function on some sort of a world scene, but also we are seeing cultural ambassadors of Columbus.
And Edward, I know you were just saying that you've been spending some time in New York recently as well. Do you want to tell us what that other project is?
Yeah, I was commissioned to open the fall season for New York City Ballet, per se. They have a fall fashion gala where they align significant fashion designers with choreographers to collaborate. So they assigned me with Anna Sui, and then the other choreographer had Zach Posen. He's another significant fashion designer. And that's what I agree with Rawson is that what's wonderful about being able to balance out your artistic life for Peggy, Rawson, and I is that we're able to bring all of, I would say, nationally and international, our connections, our experiences back to Columbus, and at the same time is we're cultural ambassadors for Columbus. So for us, I can only speak for myself, but I do think they feel the same way, is that it's a wonderful place where we are able to balance out not only leading organizations, but having, I would say, a thriving artistic voice that only feeds both.
And Peggy, I wouldn't want to leave you out. What have you been up to lately? What do you have coming up outside of this?
I am a retired performer, so I do not have the same performance calendar that they have. However, I do feel like I am ambassador for Columbus. I'm on the board of trustees for Opera America, which oversees the opera industry, North, South America, and Europe. And I'm in conversation with the National Endowment of the Arts. So trying to make an impact from behind the scenes, having had a career in front of the curtain, it's really exciting to play this end of it and support my colleagues like Edward and Rawson and many others that will be performing in Twisted. So it's another kind of adventure. It's great.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank all three of you for taking time out of your busy schedules as we lead up to the big performances here. It's been great having, you know, three such heavy hitters from the performing arts community here in Columbus all in one place. So thank you and best of luck with Twisted 3.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening to Life in the 614. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play Music. We hope to have you back next week. Until then, keep enjoying your own life in the 614.